Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Let me read you something out of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. That means He did all the work and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to Him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ through God, whose, it's as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we could become and be the righteousness of God in Him, so that we could be restored to favor, so we could be brought back into harmony with the God of this universe. Holy Spirit, help me go the direction that You want me to go. And I thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. We are ambassadors. Ambassadors for Christ. I looked up the definition of ambassador. It says it's a diplomatic official of the highest rank sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country, who in the interest of their country work and carry out the special assignments and the purpose of their country. I thought, wow, that's what we are to the kingdom of God. Huh? That's what we are to the kingdom of God. We're ambassadors. I think of Nikki Haley when I think of our ambassador to the United Nations. Boy, she is something else. Here not long ago, she announced somebody told her from the White House that we were going to do sanctions on Russia. How many heard that and saw that? And then all of a sudden they backed down and didn't tell her they were backing down. And she made the statement on TV. And then one of the high officials said, well, she was just confused. And boy, she fired back. Man, I like her. She fired back. She said, I wasn't confused. And I thought, wow. She made good president, by the way. I thought, wow, you know, she wasn't confused. She knew what they told her. She knew what her job was. And it wasn't long till those that made those statements were apologizing. Hey, listen, do you know who you are? Do you know why you're who you are? Let me just say something. You are who He says you are. And He says you're an ambassador. We've got a mission. Jesus sent us on a mission. We've talked about that for weeks, and I just want to pull it together real quick. Jesus said something before He left. Matthew's interpretation of that was, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Mark interpreted that this way. He said, in what Jesus said, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow them that believe. In My name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Luke interpreted what Jesus said this way. Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And they were all witnesses to these things. He also recorded in the book of Acts, he recorded that Jesus said this. He said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you'll be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. John recorded what he said in different ways. He said, Jesus is praying. He said, Father, as you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And not only did he send us into the world, but then he had also said that we didn't just go in there empty-handed. We didn't just go to do a mission on our own. We went with all his power and all his authority. And he said in 14th chapter of John, he said, I'm telling you, whoever, I'm the only way. I'm the only way that you can make it to the Father. And if you believe in me, you can make it. But whoever believes in me will be able to do the works that I do. But not only that, you'll be able to do greater works than these. So you know, we have an assignment. We have a mission. And I kind of want to approach this from a different angle a little bit here, a little bit of different thought, but because we always think of this and we think, I have to do more. I have to be more. And this is a great time to preach and get everybody active and get everybody to serve in the Lord. But you know, most of you are serving the Lord. Most of you are busy. Most of you are doing things that you see God wants you to do. What I want to say is this mission, this being an ambassador, it's more than something we do. It's something we are. Huh? It's more than what you have to do. More than that, it's what you need to be. We're a representative of the kingdom of God. That means that I'm a representative every place I go. That means that you're a representative every place you go. That means that everybody sees you. You're the opportunity. You're the channel. You're the conduit that they're supposed to see Jesus through. I mean, that means whenever I get mad at the waitress, I did that once. I learned this the hard way. I got irritated. I don't know. Y'all think I'm so sweet and nice. I get irritated real easy. Ask Pam. Especially when she beats me at cards, I get irritated. Huh? Y'all okay? Anyway, I got a little irritated and I wasn't really real nice to the waitress. And I mean, it was really crummy service. I had a right to be that way. I was a little gruff and I was a little grumpy. And on my way out, she was by the register and she said, "Oh, Pastor Hank," she said, "I watch you on TV every week." You see, you're to be a witness. We're to be a witness. We're ambassadors. We represent God. We represent heaven. And when you roll that basket, when you just push that basket at Walmart's and it ran into the side of that car, you were a witness. You were an ambassador for God. When you got irritated at that driver and You didn't, maybe you didn't flip him, but you wanted to. Well, if you wanted to, it's about the same as if you did it. Don't do it, though. Don't do it. But you're an ambassador. What I'm saying is that every place we are, everything, every place we go, everything we do, we represent the King of Kings. You know, and the truth is, most of y'all will never be a pastor. Most of you will never be in the fivefold ministry. Most of you will never be evangelists, pastors, teachers. Some will, but the truth is, most of you won't be. But that doesn't stop you from being a witness. That doesn't stop you from being an ambassador. That doesn't stop you from being a representative. You know, see, every place that God places you, you're to be that representative, that ambassador. Every place that that you're at, that job, you might think, well, I'm just doing this minimum wage job. But listen, you know, or you know, God's using you to touch somebody. You're there for a reason. You say, well, I'm going to be a lawyer. Well, God might, he might place you in some of those positions. But remember, your very first obligation is to be an ambassador, to be a witness. And yes, God wants to put some of you. He wants to make some of you scientists. He wants to make some of you doctors. He wants to make some of you teachers. He wants to make, he in all types of professions, he wants to place us all different places in the earth, but so we can be an ambassador. Now, I don't know about you, but I have trouble just trying to stay on top of that and mentally do that all the time. But what I'm learning is that's not what he's saying. He's saying, hey, I've given you the power. I've put the power in you. Just let me flow this power through you. And you know what I'm learning? I'm learning that when I think that I'm doing the least, he's doing something that's causing it to help or show or bless somebody. You're an ambassador. Now the enemy will do everything he can to keep us from knowing that, to keep us from walking in that. He wants to stop you because, see, you're a conduit. What Jesus was saying was, it wasn't that you have to study 30 years so you'll be able to do the things that I do and greater things than these. That wasn't what he was saying. He was saying, hey, give me your heart, give me your life, and let me show you what I can do through you. And he can take the least and make it the most. And so the devil knows who God says you are. It's the problem is most of us don't know. Huh? See, because you're operating with your limited, but see, that's the enemy's purpose. That's what he wants. He wants to stop you from being that ambassador. He wants to stop you from being effective for God. How many saved? How many before you got saved, he tried to keep you from getting saved? Huh? How many took a while for it to happen? And you know, but he wanted to stop you. Well, he couldn't stop you, so now he can't change it. You're going to heaven. But he can sure try to make it hell for you here. Well, why is he trying to stop me? Why is he trying to stop you? Because he doesn't want us to realize who we are. And he doesn't want us to realize who God says we're. He doesn't want us to realize that this is just a matter of me submitting to God. God wants to do the work. Huh? God wants to do the work. I don't have to come up with the ideas. He's already got the ideas. He'll give me the ideas. I don't have to come up with the I do. That's what he began to tell me at the end of last year. He said, Hank, you've been saying for years you want to do something for me. He said, step out this year and start doing something for me. I'll take care of the rest. You just take the step. Just tell them I'll build that church. I'll make sure the church gets built. Do you understand what I'm saying? The devil doesn't want you to step out in the potential that you have and let God use you as that influence and that power that you are. See, he'd rather keep you thinking about you instead of thinking about him. He'd rather keep you thinking about how little you are instead of how big Jesus is. You with me? The devil uses three ways to hinder us. Three main ways. He uses temptation. Let me read you what Paul said about Eve. He said in 2 Corinthians, he said, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's trickery, your minds may be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion to God." He says, So what does he do? He tempts us. See, here's the thing. The devil couldn't just come and do anything in Eve's life that he wanted to. He didn't have the right to. He didn't have the authority to. So what did he do? He went after that right. He went after that. What did he do? He tempt her. If he can get her to go for what he says, if he can get her to sin, if he can get her to disobey God, then he has a foothold in her life. Now, you need to get this, because this is how he gets a foothold in our life. Ephesians 4 tells us to put off that old man, put off that old sin, put off that, and to put on Christ. See, I don't think you can quit sinning on your own. But I think you can make a decision that I'm not going to, and God will back you up with the power. This is what I want you to see about Eve. Eve didn't just get up one morning and decide to go do whatever it was God said they couldn't do. Now, we say it's eating an apple, but I believe it was a lot more intense than that. But she didn't just get up. See, what happened? The enemy came to her, and he showed her something that looked good to her. And after he showed her something that looked good to her, she started thinking about it. And after she thought about it long enough, she ended up doing it. You can't think about something without eventually doing it. Huh? Well, I'm not really doing it. I'm just looking at those pictures. Well, you're going to give birth to something that you can't control. Well, I can play cards anytime I want. I just go play blackjack, and it's not no big. But you better be careful, because you're going to open up a door that you won't be able to get closed. He tells us to put off the old man, the old sinful nature, that past, and put on that new one. And in verse 27 of Ephesians 4, he tells us, don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. How do we give place to the devil? When we sin. You say, well, what's sin? Well, James said, anybody who knows to do good and doesn't do it, that's sin. Well, let me say that in a different way. When you know something's right, or you know something's wrong, and you do it, you know what's not right, but you do it anyway, that's sin. Huh? See, if you didn't know it wasn't right, that'd be a different story. But you won't be able to do it very much until something in here tells you, you shouldn't be doing that. You with me? So sin is anything that my conscience, my spirit's telling me not to be a part of, not to take over. It's not doing some of the things that I'm supposed to do. Matter of fact, Paul said one time that anything that's not of faith is sin. I just want you to see how he gets us. He tempts us, and through Eve's disobedience, he got a foothold. But he not only got a foothold into her life, but he got an opening into humanity, and we're still having trouble for it. I've got to do a funeral tomorrow. You know why I've got to do a funeral tomorrow? Because Eve let the devil in, and Adam let the devil in. Because there wasn't any death before that. Let me read you something out of First John chapter 5. It says, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself or guards himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." Now, what that's saying there is anybody that's really born of God doesn't habitually sin. I mean, you just don't go out here every day and do it on. There's something inside of you that's guiding you, that's telling you different. And if you're born of God, you guard yourself so you don't get caught in these things. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Or keep yourself from anything that'll take first place in your heart. Now, what I want you just to see, you know, because this, when I learned this some years back, it helped motivate me not to do the things that I kind of wanted to do, but I knew in my heart I shouldn't do them. And I learned this by going ahead and doing them. You didn't get that one. At least I'm honest about it. You lie about it. You just act like you're a little saint and you don't ever do nothing like that. But the truth is, if we think about something long enough, we'll do it. We'll cheat on our taxes. Well, let's go to a different one. We'll hold back from God, but what I want you to see is when I learned that any time that I am disobedient, any time that I'm not talking about one of the Ten Commandments, I'm talking about any time that I go different than this little voice inside of me is telling me, I open the door up for the enemy to come in to my life. Does that make sense? The devil's after me. I don't know how. I don't know how come he's doing all this stuff. Well, find out where you open the door and slam that sucker. Huh? See, this is his legal ground comes from us succumbing to temptation. This is how James said it in James, the verse chapter, he said 14 and 15. He said that we are first drawn away from our own desires, our lust. We're kind of pulled away. Whew, that looks good. Yeah, that wouldn't hurt. Well, I could do it just once. Well, the desires in our, it first comes as a thought. And it says, then we are pulled away. And when that thing is conceived in our life, it brings forth sin. And then sin, when it's finished, it brings death. Now that's not just physical death. It does end up in physical death. But death is everything that came in with Satan when he came into the earth. It's sickness, it's disease, it's lack, it's discouragement, it's suicide, it's all the things that he brought in with him is death. And so When I think it's a good idea, and I think about that good idea for a while, and then after a while, then I get to acting on that idea, and then even after, by the time you're acting on it, you've even got it figured out, and you've got excuses why it's okay, but the truth is, it's not always something big. This is what I want to see. It's the little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And so that's why it's important. The minute you detect that in your life, you said, well, how do I find the door? How do I shut the door? Well, 1 John says that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you want to slam the door in the devil's face? You're off in error. You're off and doing something. I talked to a man a while back. He's in this church, and I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing, so don't get a guilty look on your face, and nobody know I'm talking about you. But he'd been doing something for years and years and years. And God had been dealing with him for a long, long time. And he finally said, I'm through with that. I'm through with that. I'm not doing that anymore. And you know what? The power came in his life to overcome that. See, what I'm saying is that once you confess that, once you turn around, see, repentance just means I'm turning from that. I'm turning from that. The second I do that, it stops the enemy's power in my life. Now, if he's already set you in a habit pattern of believing it and going for it, it might take a little while before you see it change. But it cuts him off. See, that blood will drown him every time. It'll wipe him out every time. So, you want to stop him in your tracks? Just turn it around. Just turn it around. The next thing... He uses his deception. Deception. Do you know many of us are living in defeat and less than God has for us just because we've been deceived? You know the best deception is a partial truth? Because he can get you to believe in a partial truth out of the Word. He can get you to believe in a partial truth, and you'll die defending that. Deception. When you allow deception to take over in your life, it becomes a stronghold. Then the strongholds are formed in your mind. That's why Paul said, if you renew your mind. Matter of fact, I would say this, if you will renew your mind, all your problems will go away. Now, they won't stop happening. They'll just stop affecting you. Think about it. A stronghold is an incorrect thinking pattern based on a falsehood. Did you get that? See, a lot of religion is stuck there. And I'm finding myself dealing with hundreds of people out here in the world don't go to church. And God's opening up opportunities for me to deal with them by the group, by the grosses. I mean, it's something's happening, and I don't know what it is. But they are deceived. They're not going to church. They're not going after God, but because of something religion has told them, a falsehood. A deception. And demon spirits love to do that. Because if they can get you to thinking something, that's the way it'll be. I had people when I first started pastoring quit this church because I was telling you how easy it was to get saved. And they said, this ain't that easy. You gotta do this. You gotta. Man, I don't know. I'm just saying what the Bible says. The Bible says he made it so easy that even a little child can understand it. You understand? See, there's some people poor and in lack because they've believed a lie. They've believed that being poor is somehow more spiritual than having a lot. Well, you don't find anybody in the book. Start in Genesis and come through. I'm already into Chronicles, and I haven't found one person yet that when God got to fooling with them, a lot of stuff came around their camp. Not one person did he say, okay, now that you're living for me, I'm going to make you broke and sick. No, he said, you live for the enemy, you'll be that way. But you live for me, and I'm going to show you something else. Deception. Deception. But Paul says this is how we deal with deception. 2 Corinthians 10, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's a wrong thinking. It's in the being in the pattern, in a habit of thinking wrong because of a falsehood, believing a lie. He says, this is what you do. He says, first off, he says, you cast down those imaginations, those arguments. You cast them down, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and of Jesus. Huh? So when he says, you know, well, this might be God's will for you to be sick. You got to cast that down. If you don't cast that imagination down, you'll be talking about it, you'll be thinking about it, you'll be telling everybody about it, and you'll be glorifying whatever that sickness is instead of glorifying the King that already took the stripes to take that from you. See, Dan, that's why I was getting on you, because I was going to preach this. See? But see, and we all do it. We think something, and if we're not careful, we start thinking it. We start talking it. Deception. He said, cast down those things. Everything that's against the knowledge of God. Well, I guess I'll just never have anything. That's not what God said. Cast it down. He said, all things are possible to you if you can believe. Cast it down. He said, anything you ask me in my name, if you just keep my words, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask me anything and I'll do it. Well, I asked him anything and he didn't do it. Well, then maybe you better check the other part of that scripture. Because it's not bad on his end. He's not faltering. A few times I've went to God and just thought he made a mistake, and how many know he'll straighten you out? Huh? Cast it down. Everything that doesn't line up, that's not that everything that's contrary to his word, everything, he said, bring all those thoughts into subjection. Bring them into captivity. Bring them under control. Good gracious, some Christians, we just need to get our minds under control. We just go nuts over everything. We make a mountain out of a little old molehill. We see a storm in every cloud. Shut your big mouth. I don't know how to say it any plainer than that. Now, I apologize if I hurt anybody's feelings, but if I hurt your feelings, maybe you need to be quiet. Maybe you need to be thinking about what you're saying before you say it. Bring those thoughts into control to the obedience of Christ. Jesus, what do you say about this situation? And it says, be ready to punish all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. That, to me, that just means take a stand. Father, this is in my life, and I'm not having it in my life anymore. And I'm not going to live. I'm lining up with your word. I'm going to live what you said. I know my body's telling me it's sick, but you said by your stripes, Jesus, I have been healed, and that's what I'm sticking to. So, body, get on up out of that chair and go do what you got to do. Oh Lord, come heal me. He always told them, said, get up on your feet. Take up your bed. If you want to lay there and wallow around in that deception, he'll let you stay there as long as you want to. Is that enough on that? Take authority over. If he can get you deceived, he'll get you feeling guilty. He'll get you feeling insignificant. He'll get you feeling worthless. He'll convince you that you can't be an ambassador. He'll convince you that, well, you know, but if you were Pastor Hank, or if you were one of the deacons, or if you were Brother Greg or Gary or Doug, then you could do this. No, he said you could do it. And goodness gracious, we don't have to have a big platform for God to work through us. We got a big platform out there. Huh? Every place your foot touches is yours. Take that territory for the Lord. Every place if you walk into Walmart, you ought to go, man, you ought to think. Now, you ought to not get cocky, but you ought to think, I'm an ambassador. Man, I am somebody because of Jesus. I have the gifts of the Spirit working through me. I have the power of God inside of me. I can do anything he tells me to do. Lay hands on them. Pray for them. Take them a pie. Go buy them a meal. Pick that check up. I can do anything he tells me to do because I'm his ambassador. If you're like me, man, you spend most, used to, I don't anymore, spend most of our time thinking about, oh man, I wish I was Brother Mac or somebody, then I'd have some power, you know. But he said he gave you power. He said he gave you power. Best thing that ever happened to me was when I had to put my own shoes on. Some of you just need to put your own shoes on. You don't have to be like anybody else. I'm sorry, you don't have to be Joyce Myers. You don't have to be any of your other heroes. You just got to be you. Quit letting the devil deceive you and trick you out of that. Well, then he uses accusations. Revelation 12 calls the devil, he calls him the accuser of the brethren. You notice he didn't say the accuser of the world, he didn't say the accuser of the sinner, he said, no, the accusers of the children of God. I got to thinking about that, you know. The devil never told me before I got saved, he never told me that I wasn't saved. Now the Holy Spirit dealt with me and pulled me and let me know I wasn't saved. But the devil never came to me and told me I wasn't saved till after I got saved on February the 10th, 1974. And I walked out and I went home, and the first thing he said was, you can't be saved, your hair's too long. You can't be saved because you got an earring. You can't be saved because you smoke dope. He never told me any of that stuff before I got saved. He said, smoke some more, do some more, let it grow longer. Are you hearing me, accuser? He never told me I wasn't filled with the Spirit till after I got filled with the Spirit. Huh? And then he started telling me tongues were of the devil. I had a heck of a time that first week or two. Huh? And then finally I got to thinking, I thought, you know, I've been some places the devil was, and I didn't hear nobody talking in tongues there. It wasn't until I went to church that I heard that. Accuser of the brethren, he'll accuse you. He'll remind you of your past sin. He'll remind you how bad you were. He'll remind you of how you messed it up. He'll remind you of, man, the blood of Jesus took care of that. Wipe that out. If you let him, he'll accuse you. He'll make you feel guilty. He'll make you feel worthless. Did you ever do anything in the past you wish you wouldn't have done? Come on, how many ever did it? How many ever did something and then for weeks and weeks and weeks you beat yourself up? Huh? I did a funeral, it's been 3 or 4 years ago, and I'm not kidding, I walked out feeling like I had messed that up big time. I walked out of here feeling, man, and those voices were coming, said, boy, you blew that one. And I walked out of here thinking that, and I thought, I've meditated on that for weeks and thought, man, I wish if I just had that to do over. How many ever want to do over? And then all through the years, last few years, you know, every once in a while that'll come back to me and they'll say, man, you blew that, boy, you blew that. And I talked with a lady from Canada yesterday. It's amazing how this happened right when I'm going to talk about this. But I talked to a lady from Canada, and so I mentioned that funeral, and she said, oh, she said, I heard how great that funeral was. Oh, I heard what a good, and we want you to do ours. And it just went, pow. You see, he'll accuse you. It doesn't matter when you are at your weakest, when you are at your worst, when you do the least, he can be the biggest. He can do the most. He can get it done. He just wants you to be an ambassador. Huh? And probably the thing, times you think you failed the biggest is probably the times that he did the most through you. Well, if I'm going to be effective for God, I've got to tear down those strongholds. Huh? If you take the bait, he'll torment you. Man, he'll get your feelings, he'll get in your emotions, he'll torment you, he'll make you miserable if you take the bait. I just have learned, I just have to go, well, yeah, I probably did, but man, you know what, God, we got a new start here. You know, that's a neat thing about Jesus, I can start over every day. Huh? I can start over every day. So what do? You start meditating. You've got to change. You've got to start meditating on the truth instead of on the stronghold. You've got to start meditating on the good instead of the bad. You got to, in a nutshell, what I'm saying is spiritual warfare that you're going through, we all go through, is in our minds. It's a battle between error and truth. Huh? Tell you one more and then we'll quit, but some years back I started hearing accusings and I took the devil's bait and I started thinking about the negative thing and he started tearing me down, he started deceiving me, he started telling me all this stuff. And you know what? After about 6 or 7 months, I didn't think that I had anything to offer. Matter of fact, I was ready to get out of the ministry. And the truth is, I was coming in here every Sunday and talking to you, and some of you didn't even know it. But I was, man, there was nothing inside. And I just listened to this, and these voices just kept, and they got louder and louder and louder. And then finally, one day, I was praying and meditating, and, well, I was crying and begging. Y'all never do that, do you? Huh? You never do that, do you? And I mean, the Spirit of God came inside of me and he said, start thinking about the truth instead of a lie. How many get my thought for the day? You know what I started doing the next day? I started writing thoughts for the day. I started meditating and thinking on the positive stuff. See, you can't just stop thinking about things. You got to start replacing them with something. Huh? And so I started listening to Joel Osteen. I started getting books from every positive thinker I could find. I started listening to every message that I had. I started digging old books out and reading them, and I started thinking about it again. And I just finally decided, you know what, God, you're good. I need to get my eyes off of Hank and get my eyes on you. And he takes us all being worthless and useless and not worth anything, and he makes giant killers out of us. takes those of us who don't have anything to offer, and he fills us with his goodness and wisdom. And I just kept on writing them thoughts for the day. And you know, after what, 5-6 years, I'm finally starting to believe them. Because I got in the habit. I'd write them. Gary sends them out because I don't come in here that early. He does. But I'd read them. And I didn't read them like I wrote them. I read them like somebody wrote them to me. Huh? And I still do that. I still read them. I say, whoo, boy, that was just what I needed today, God. You hearing me? You wanna shut that down? You've got to start meditating on the truth. You got to start believing God. See, you're an ambassador. You're a representative. If the enemy can keep your eyes on you, you'll never be effective. But if he can get you to get your eyes off of you and get them on Jesus, you can do all things through Christ who will give you the strength to do it. Does that make sense? Let me end with some scriptures here. I just want you to realize you're a representative of the King of Kings. Let me read you something Paul said here. Are you ready? And then we're going to quit. And do this I looked down at the clock and I said, I'm late, and I started trying to hurry. But I'm going to read this and then we're going to go home, okay? And do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly or decently as in the day, not as revelry or drunkenness, nor of lewdness or lust, not of strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. He's just saying here, hold it, you're a representative, you're an ambassador of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Put all that old mess off and start walking like you're supposed to walk and start doing what you're supposed to do and just start realizing who you are. Don't let him talk you out of it. You are who God says you are, not anything else. Well, did I butcher that up too much for you? Did you hear anything? I just want you to realize when you walk out of here today, if you go to the restaurant, everybody sees you. You're going to be an ambassador. If you go anyplace else, everybody sees you. You're the representative of Jesus Christ. Huh? You're not limited to your abilities or your smarts or your talents or your money or anything. You're not limited to what you have or don't have. The only thing that limits you is the Spirit of God. And he'll take the least little thing that you do and do something mighty with it. You see, the world out here is going to hell. Huh? Going to hell. But we're going to change that, aren't we? I said we're going to change that, aren't we? Everything you do will be a seed that you sow. Everybody stand. I went too long. It's 2 minutes after. Shoot, you don't care. Y'all have been on a cruise for 2 or 3 weeks. It's about time to get back in the groove. And see Bernadette back there. Hi, Bernadette. Bless your heart. I need a hug from you before you go. And good to see Jeff. And he's strutting his new kidney and all that, you know. Anyway, if I didn't get to hug you, you know, it'd be a good time to come down and let me give you that hug before you go. I want everybody in here to say something, because not everybody in here knows that you're saved. Everybody in here doesn't know that if you died right now, you'd go be with God. So I want you to know. The Bible says that whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says if we'll confess him with our mouth and believe in our heart, we'll be saved. With our mouth we make confession, and with our heart we believe unto righteousness. So right now, I want everybody in here to say a prayer. Because if you're not saved, if you say this and mean it, something will happen in here. Huh? Something will happen in here. And if you already know you're saved, something will happen in here. Because you'll put something in here that when you talk to that person this week that doesn't know if they're saved, you'll know how to tell them how. You'll know how to pray with them. Everybody in here, say this with me. Jesus, you died on the cross for me. You took my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I make you the Lord of my life. Save me right now. I want to live for you. But I need your help. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I add one more thing to it? Lord, I'm asking you, everybody that goes to a restaurant, give them favor. And don't let them have to stand and don't let them have to wait. Just give them favor and let them get right in there. You want to know how you know that that works? If you prayed that prayer in a minute, something happened. But you want to know how you know, you really know? Because something in here happens. And it's an intimate feeling with Jesus. And it's something in here that makes you want to go after that more than anything else that you've been going after. That intimacy with Him. Called a relationship. Huh? Say, well, I don't know if I'm saved. Say that prayer, mean it, give Him your life, and that little voice, that little something in there will happen, and it'll make you want more. It'll make you want more. It's a little hunger that'll never be satisfied because you'll just keep wanting more and more and more of Jesus. And then you'll find yourself starting getting rid of everything that's standing in the way because you want more of that. We'll talk about that again later. Hey, I love you. If you prayed that prayer, or maybe you didn't and you'd like to, we have some of us down here ready to pray with you. If you did pray that prayer and you just got saved, I'd like to be able to give you some information to help you get on the way with the Lord. So if you'll come down. Hey, listen, I love you. Thank you for putting up with me. And I speak God's goodness into you. I speak His blessing into you. I just believe Him to let that thing in you grow bigger than you are. I'm believing Him to pull you and me closer to Him than we ever dreamed we could be. Hey, I love you. You have a good day. Be blessed. Jesus loves you too.